All right, I believe we're back to the castle. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Art. Very fitting bumper music, Year of the Cat.
Yes.
We were in our castle, Ireland, Charleville Castle, and we kind of split off from the wedding party, and immediately we headed up a long spiral staircase that was rickety and almost kind of like in that Julie Harris movie, The Haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't believe it, got probably two or three floors up and did the thing you scream at movie characters for doing. I turn around and my wife's gone. She split off down the hallway.
Always.
Always. And I told myself that, and it's like, this is probably the dumbest thing I've ever done. So kind of rattled around and found her, came back down the stairs, and we saw stairs going down. So we proceeded, and we ended up in the dungeon. And all this time, from the time that we came in with the wedding party, this white cat was following us around and kind of rubbing against our legs, and we'd pick it up and pat it, and it purred, and just it followed us up the stairs and in the grand hallway and then down into the dungeon. So we get down into the dungeon, and now we know we're really kind of in an area we shouldn't be, so our senses are really heightened because we're just sure we're going to get caught, and there's really not much apologizing you can do other than just face the consequences.
Not by the time you're in the dungeon.
Yep. There's no way out now. And so we're down there, and we start hearing the construction noises and the remodeling noises and saws, you know, being placed down and saw horses being moved around and tools dropped and people walking. So we're really trying to avoid that. And we hear it ahead of us, and so we go a little bit further, and then we kind of back up. And down in this dungeon in Charleville, it's a long, narrow hallway with alcoves shooting off to the left and to the right, like little black tunnels, which is kind of creepy as you're walking by them.
Sure.
And, excuse me, all of a sudden we hear the footfalls coming down the steps, and it's one of those kind of square spiral steps. So the boots are coming down the steps, and my wife leaps in a dark alcove and beckons me in, and I kind of hit that deer in the headlights thing and just froze. And the cat was on the bottom landing at the last turn, and the steps came down one at a time, distinctly hearing his steps, and all of a sudden the cat looked at me, looked up at the steps, and just hissed and arched her back, and then the noise stopped. And so we thought, boy, caught another break, and kept kind of walking around and hearing a lot of these noises, but could never find them. Well, as we came out finally and left the castle, we went out to our car and noticed that, you know, we were the only car when we got here, and now we're the only car while we're here. And it's like 6 o'clock on a Friday night. We know that these Irish, good Irish folks aren't working construction after 5 o'clock on a Friday night, so what were those noises coming from? And never really did figure it out. Now, this last year, 2005, in fact, in September, we went back for a trip, and we met the owner of the castle. Wonderful lady. She's an American, been there, I think, 15 years now. And she gave us the guided tour of the castle, which is just steeped in history and Masonic history and...
Okay, we've only got a very short time now.
Okay, and as we were chatting with her, we told her about our last trip and apologized, and she accepted the apology, and then as we were talking about where's the white cat at, she looked at us and said, what cat? And we described it, and she asked a few more nuances, and we described the cat further. She said, that cat has been dead since 2001. That was her kitten. And
yes.
We were kind of aghast at that point. Now, a year later, we've taken our digital photos and look at it, and you can see two apparitions of a cat
and
orbs floating everywhere.
Thank you very much. I haven't made up my mind about orbs. They're unusual. I mean, most people would, in photography, would say these are, you know, lens flashes, and everybody knows that if you get the sun in a lens, you're going to see a whole bunch of different suns, and these are what they attribute orbs to. But on the other hand, orbs have been picked up in some photography where it really may be the spirit or something like that, because there's absolutely nothing that would do that to the lens. So orbs, I don't know, they're kind of in my gray basket. But some of them are kind of eerie. You're on the air, Ghost to Ghost, AM05. Hi.
Art Bell?
Yes.
Hello, this is Juan from Pleasanton, Texas.
Yes.
To talk to you. I just wanted to say something about the year 2012.
Yes.
If you look in the Bible in verse 2012,
No, I don't generally allow verse reading.
On your own time, read it.
On my own time, okay.
It's kind of spooky. Uh-huh. Also, you're a cat lover, right?
Oh, yes.
You ever seen a 6 o'clock cat before?
As a matter of fact, yes.
You have?
I have. They're very unusual, but they do exist naturally. I mean, it happens. Like, you get people with six fingers. It does happen. So there's nothing necessarily ghostly about that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yes, hello. It's Michael calling you from Seattle. I'm actually a Portlander, and pleasure to talk to you again. I talked to you many years ago.
I'm glad you're back.
Well, thank you. In 1977, actually, I had just rented a lovely little, cozy little duplex, half of a duplex in Portland's West Hills. And about the third night that I was there, just settling in, First I sensed this entity behind me as I walked into, I was going in and out of my little place, and it was evening, and I sensed first, and I figured, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this. I sensed a very tall being, and I actually turned around and I addressed him, and it was a male. I knew somehow it was a male. And I said, and I greeted him and told him I was no harm, I would be no harm to him, and he was welcome in my home.
Do you mean sensed in the, you know, in the sense that, you know, somebody's in the room with you, or sensed?
Yes. Yes. I sensed that somebody had walked into the door and he was right there in my little place. Well, I didn't think much of it after that, and I was doing some things, and finally I got ready for bed and I went to sleep. And I swear to God, this story is true, and I swear on my wonderful own, my own father's memory. About somewhere around 2 a.m., give or take an hour, perhaps it was 2 a.m., and I was sound asleep. All of a sudden, the house had these beautiful little French windows that opened in. You had to open the window in to get air into the room.
Sure.
And this was February, and it was very cold, a particularly cold night. And all of a sudden, the pull shades on both at the same time just went up. And, you know, when you pull on those old-fashioned shades and you let go, they go up really fast.
Yes.
And that's what happened. They each went up. It was almost simultaneous. It was kind of like bam, bam, like that. Yeah. And that woke me right up.
That would do it.
Yes, that'll do it all right. And then I watched each latch work. I watched the latches work, and I saw each of those windows, one at a time, opening up, opening into the room.
Oh.
And then, of course, and the wind was blowing, and these lace curtains that were on the windows, they were going.
By now, I'd be running.
I tell you, I did not sleep, obviously. I did not sleep the rest of that night. But I knew that it was taking its leave. It was exiting my life. And for some reason, I just knew that it didn't really either like me or relate to me or whatever.
Well, you still didn't get back to sleep, though.
Pardon?
You still didn't get back to sleep, though.
Oh, that's for sure. I was up the rest of that night. Yeah, the windows opened up. You know, they just
all
opened
by in. Themselves.
All by themselves. I watched the latch turn. I saw the windows opening, and I afterwards I did talk to one of the. There were two gentlemen living there before me, and I said, you know, you had a ghost anyway, and they said, oh yes, and I said, well, why didn't you tell me? They said, because we thought, you know, that would really scare you, and we just figured it would probably be okay one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
So that's my story.
And a good story it is. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. I wouldn't want to see anything move by itself. Not at all. And if you actually saw that, I think that, well, again, it would be a great way to know that your heart is in great condition. Especially, you know, those, as he described, those old shades. You remember those? You let go of them, they go right up. But then the latches, you might make your way past that one, but the latches moving in the windows and going up by themselves, no. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what is your first name?
My name is Don, and I'm calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Excellent.
And I listen to you on WHBY 1150 AM, and I had emailed you with, it was just three little stories about how I was raised in a haunted house. I will tell you the first incident, and it actually was the most frightening, even though I don't think you ever really get used to that kind of thing when it happens to
what,
you.
What happened?
Well, I was just a little girl, and I'm figuring now it was about 1959. I was raised in this house, and we kept this house until my father died in 1980. Mm-hmm. So I need to let you know that my father worked during the day. He was a painting contractor, and my mother worked second shift at the hospital, so she wouldn't get home until 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I'm about 7 years old. I'm getting ready for bed. I'm in my bedroom. My father's in the kitchen, and we had finished dinner, and he's washing the dishes. And I can still remember my little fingers pushing these buttons of my pajamas through the buttonholes as I hear Donna. And without even thinking, I just said, yes. And again, Donna. Well, then I thought it was somebody hiding in under my bed.
Hmm.
I'm a little girl. What do you think?
Yeah, so, about that. Maybe somebody's hiding under the bed.
Under the bed. And not a monster, though. I just figured it was a kid, you know, like my niece or something. But these thoughts are coming as quickly as what you could even think them. And so I think there's somebody under the bed, but I know there's no one there. And then I hear Donna. Now I look to my bedroom window because all the kids in our neighborhood, we all got together and played until the sun set, and things were different back then, what they are now. And we would talk to each other through the open windows at night if
right.
one could be out later than the other or whatever.
Are you sure? I remember.
And I look to the window, but the window is shut. And I am wearing flannel pajamas. So now I start thinking, no, it's cold outside and there's no one there. And before I can even get that thought out of my head, this voice says to me, Donna, don't be afraid. I just want to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
And with that, I became so afraid. I remember opening my mouth, but no sound came out. I tried to scream so hard, and no sound could come out. I was paralyzed with fear.
Well, sure. You know, the moment something tells you don't be afraid, your reaction is going to be, I've got something to be afraid of.
Finally, when the voice came out, my father came running to me, and he comforted me, but he really didn't even know what to say. I know that he and my mother had talked about it after that. And then, of course, there were other incidences in that house. And as I grew older, then my father would start to talk to me about how he had experienced things just like that in this house. But the thing that, and I've tried to analyze this, and listening to your programs, I'm wondering now if what I experienced there in that room that night was maybe a sort of time travel, because I refused to sleep in that room ever again.
Certainly one of the things, thank you very much, that you can't rule out about these incidents. And that is that it is some sort of time travel, some sort of portal, some sort of accidental entry into some other realm. That certainly is a possibility, but then again, so many of these things seem to be personalized, you know, as in a relative coming back to let you know that they're okay. Or even the children. But occasionally, these stories, you know, they don't make sense in terms of any contemporary reason for a contact. And so it could be some sort of slip, some sort of entry into some other realm or dimension, accidental or whatever. And that might account for some of these things. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, this is Linda calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Linda.
And my story, it has to do with what you were just talking about. This was back in 1957, and I grew up in a small town not too far from Roswell, New Mexico.
Right.
It was in Texas, and we would always vacation in Cloudcroft, New Mexico, which is kind of up in the mountains, and it looks down on the White Sands missile range, and I can remember we used to go and watch them fire off the Sidewinder missiles.
Oh, what a neat place, yeah.
It was really neat. And so we were up on vacation. I was with my friend, and I was about 12 years old at the time, and we were walking out in the piney woods, and we saw this cabin, and it had a window that was a little bit open on the bottom, and we didn't see any cars around. So being kids, we opened the window and crawled down into the basement, and we didn't hear anybody, and I was attracted to a piano, so I went over and lifted the piano bench, and I was looking at the music, and it had music like the Andrews Sisters from World War II, and it had like Glenn Miller Orchestra, and I thought, well, this is funny, all this music is from the 40s. So I went over into a closet, and there was like a leather sports jacket from the 40s and a prom dress. So I said, well, let's go upstairs. So we went upstairs and went into the living room, and on the coffee table were these papers, newspapers, describing World War II. And I got to thinking, this is so strange. And I just looked around, and there was nothing from the 50s, no, you know, rock music or Elvis music or any other papers. And
my God, so it is what we were talking about. It's kind of like you slipped into another time, sort of accidentally or somehow, everything was from some other time.
But it was not like dusty. At first I thought, well, maybe the family had just left the vacation home and been killed or hurt in an accident and never returned, but everything looked shiny and new. And I went to the kitchen, and there was like a small light on in the stove and like a coffee cup.
Yes.
And there was a medicine bottle, and I looked on it, and it was dated 1943.
Wow.
And the hair just stood up on my neck. And
hey, I bet.
We've got to get out of here. I was just freaked out. So we crawled back out, and we were afraid to tell anybody because, you know, we went into the house. We didn't take anything. But later on, looking back at it, it was like stepping into a different time.
You know, I sometimes wonder, there are a lot of people in this world that just go missing. I mean, they're just never heard from again. No bodies ever found. You know, they just go missing. There are many, many, many cases like that. And you've got to wonder if occasionally somebody like yourself has an experience like you had, except doesn't come back.
Well, in kind of analyzing this, looking back on it, my father was in the, he was an Army airman, and he helped work on the timing device that dropped the atomic bomb.
No kidding.
And he was killed in August of 1945, before I was born. I was born in December of 1945. And I always wished that I could have met my father or known him or been around him. And looking back on it, I think maybe that was sort of a way for him to show me how things might have been had I been there when he was there.
Well, that might be a leap on your part, or
it
not.
It took me a long time to kind of come to that conclusion, but I thought maybe I had gone back in time to try and see how things might have been back then.
Did you ever, well, you have no way of knowing. If you had embraced it and stayed, maybe you would have remained in that time, and you wouldn't be here talking to me right now.
That's what scared me the most. I had to get out of there because I could sense that really might happen.
Yeah, well, maybe it really does happen. All right, listen, thank you very, very much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a good guy. It is indeed a strange, strange world we live in, isn't it? From the high desert in the middle of the night in Halloween, on Halloween 05, we'll continue with your stories after the break. I'm Art Bell.